Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 30th, 2007. This week, is tanning in a tanning bed better than baking in the sun? Stay with us for the answer. First, Chelsea Wall tells us what scientists are learning about the world's largest animals.
The fascinating songs of humpback whales are familiar to scientists and the public, but those of blue whales, the largest animals on Earth, are much less known. Now scientists from Scripps Oceanography in California have linked these endangered whale sounds to their behaviors by tagging them with suction cup recorders. Team leader Aaron Olson sped up this one sound made by feeding whales to make it easier for us to hear.
So they'll be feeding and then they talk a little bit. It's kind of like eating at a diner where you chat a little bit and then you go back to eating for a while and then you chat a little bit.
Since sound travels vast distances in water, thanks to this research, scientists will be able to learn more about blue whales around the world just by eavesdropping.
Thanks, Chelsea. Genetic blood tests already can help doctors predict a person's risk of developing a variety of disorders, from Huntington's disease to cancer. But researchers at the University of Iowa are developing genetic tests for mental conditions, like panic attacks or even alcoholism. The tests don't tell you you'll definitely get the condition, only that you're more susceptible than most people. While the benefits of warning people about these risks early are obvious, there are also ethical concerns about labeling people as future candidates for mental health problems. In less controversial blood test news, scientists at Temple University have developed a test that could spot repetitive stress inflammation. The test could help doctors diagnose and treat the problem before there's any pain or joint damage. Next, there are many famous three-party partnerships, from the Three Musketeers to the Three Stooges. Justin Warner tells us about another successful threesome.
There's a kind of grass called panic grass in Yellowstone National Park that thrives in hot geothermal soils, which can reach up to 120 degrees Fahrenheit. It was recently discovered that a kind of fungus on the plant's roots makes this possible. Neither the fungus nor the grass can withstand the high temperatures alone. But now researchers have found that the fungus confers this heat-resisting power only when it's infected with a virus. Marilyn Rusink of the Samuel Roberts Noble Foundation in Oklahoma says they were able to reveal the three-way dependency by curing some of the plants of the virus.
When the plants were colonized with the fungus infected with the virus, then they were heat tolerant. And when they were colonized with the fungus without the virus, or with no fungus, they died under the heat stress.
Rusink says understanding survival mechanisms like these isn't just academically interesting.
With the global climate changes that we're all facing now, we're going to see a lot more extreme environments on the planet, and that would include higher temperatures, also probably more periods of drought. So we need to understand how plants normally tolerate natural extreme environments.
That may better equip us to grow crops when environments that seem extreme today become more normal.
Thanks, Justin. Kelly Nichols is no stranger to tears. As an optometry professor at Ohio State University, she studies them. Recently, she and her colleagues looked at the thin layer of oil that surrounds the eye's normal everyday tear film. They found neurotransmitters, or signaling chemicals, including one that regulates sleep in other parts of the body. It's not yet known how these chemicals function in tears, but Nichols says they may be related to the symptoms that afflict millions of people with dry eye disorders.
They may stop doing some of their favorite activities because their eyes bother them too much to keep them open. For instance, their vision fluctuates and they have to blink to clear their vision, or they stop doing what they're doing to close their eyes and let their eyes rest.
Knowing how their tear chemistry differs from normal may lead to solutions. Finally, Chelsea's here with the answer to a listener's burning question.
You know that baking in the sun's ultraviolet rays damages your skin and may lead to premature aging and cancer. But with bathing suit season on its way, Jessica Vega of Gainesville, Florida, emailed to ask whether tanning beds are a better solution. We turn to dermatologist Stephen Stone of the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine.
No, tanning with a tanning bed is definitely not better than sitting out in the sun. The degree of tan that you get is a sign of damage to your skin, and whether it's natural ultraviolet or artificial ultraviolet, a given tan is a given sign of injury.
For those who want a tan but don't want wrinkles, he suggests using sunless tanning lotions inside and a strong sunscreen outside. If you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll answer a listener's question about animal sex. In the meantime, visit us online at scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.